I got invited to a baseball game, a packed stadium, and I just sat there and wondered, how many of them people, if you was to ask them, would they say, I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? And, you know, it's one of those things that we have committed to do, to see lost people saved. And Hillcrest Baptist Church, and if we didn't have that in our statement of faith or in our what we're going to do, then I'm not sure I could stand here before you tonight, because that's what Jesus wants. He wants people to be saved. If you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 14 tonight, David said, you've got to, you know, I'm preaching on Palm Sunday. He said, if you'll cover the cross. And I thought, well, how about I cover communion? Because that's really what this is. And through communion, you get to the cross. Amen. And, you know, so one of those things in life that, we get to do is to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, that he died on the cross for every sinner on this planet. And he desires for everyone to come to know the Lord. And so if you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 14, verses 17 through 25, we're just going to read there and then we'll pray. It says, while they were reclining and eating, Jesus said, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. And they began to be distressed and say to him one by one, surely not I. He said to them, it is one of the 12, the one who is dipping bread in the bowl with me. For the Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for him if he had not been born. As they were eating, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, this is my body. Then he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which he poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will no longer drink the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it in a new kingdom of God. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the many blessings that you give us. I thank you for this body of believers. And Father, I thank you for your church around the world. And Father, I just pray, Lord Jesus, that your church, the body of Christ, would know that people need the Lord. And Father, that you would just guide and direct us to the people that we need to witness to in our lives. And Father, I just pray that you would just guide and direct us, give us the boldness to speak a word to those people, Father God, if it at all possible. Father, I just pray that you would just open our hearts and our minds today, Father, as we renew ourselves to you through communion. And Father, that we would just examine our lives so that we could be renewed to you as well as to one another. Father, I just ask that you would just guide and direct us and just help us to live our lives in a way that is pleasing unto you, and to go out into this world and to win souls for Jesus. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, as we are gathered here tonight, knowing that we came here to partake of communion or the Lord's Supper, just like the disciples did when they come here with Jesus. I mean, he had told them that they were going to do Passover, that they had prepared Passover and they was going to gather together at that point in time. And that was something that was tradition. That was something that they did year after year after year. And much like what he's commanded us to do comes out of Passover. And as we look at these passages of scripture tonight, we come to fulfill our Lord's command. We come to do what Jesus told us to do. And that's what you surrendered to do when you said that you wanted Jesus to be Lord of your life. And so it's very important. And they was just, Jesus wanted his disciples to do what he had asked them to do. And the 12 had gathered there and they were trying to commemorate something to remember about all the things that they had passed through over the years to bring them to that point. And you see that there's just the 12 of them there. But because Jesus has not returned, we want to be obedient to what he's commanded us to do in that Passover meal. And it's really important that we look at this. And it said, don't tell us how often to do it. You know, I've been in churches that done it on a weekly basis. I've been in churches that done it once or twice a year. Most common is what we do. Every 2 or 3 months, we partake in communion and fulfill the command that Jesus gave us to do, because we proclaim the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ when we take communion. And so it's for anyone who is a follower of Christ, just like Pastor David said. You know, I didn't know that he was doing announcements tonight, but anyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ can partake in communion. You don't have to be a member of this church we just invite you to partake of the Lord's Supper, to participate in taking the elements with believers. Because what that does is testify, just like that baptism this morning testified of the fact of what Dean and David had done in their lives. This also continues that testimony of our faith in what Jesus Christ done for us. So let me set the stage for you. Jesus had washed all the disciples' feet, and they had gathered around the table, and Jesus had made an announcement that one of them would betray him. Peter, if you read the other gospels, Peter motioned to John, because John was sitting by Jesus, and he said, find out who it is, you know, find out who the betrayer is. And Jesus must have not have said it very loud, because I don't think any of them caught on. But Jesus said, the one that I'll dip the bread into the cup and give it to the one that will betray me. And he done that. And then he told Judas, he said, go and do what you're going to do. Guys, I am so amazed that, number one, that Jesus washed Judas's feet. You know, out here in the world, we get so caught up. And I testify to you or tell you all the time, one of my biggest things is, and I try to keep it under wraps, but one of the biggest things that I deal with is people driving stupid in these streets in Lebanon. Right? I mean, and I even drive stupid. You can ask my wife. She'll testify to that fact. But as we go through life, we tend to put people in a place to where, you know, we talk down to them. We're really in the same boat they are. You know, and I believe that's what Jesus wanted us to see. He offered Judas an opportunity up to the very end to change his position of what he was going to do. I want you to think about this. I'd never really thought about it, but Judas had the 30 pieces of silver sitting there across from Jesus as he dipped that bread and Jesus gave it to him. He had the 30 pieces of silver somewhere, maybe not on him, but I think he probably had it on him, you know, because he had betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. But Judas did not take that. See, Jesus knew the heart of Judas, and he called him a devil from the very beginning. And Jesus told Judas to quickly carry out his plan. So this set the stage for Jesus to institute the new covenant in his blood from the Passover meal. And they say that it was the third cup that they was taking at the time that Jesus instituted this meal. So I want you to realize that there was only believers there, and that he had sent the only unbeliever out of the room because he could do that. Guys, I can't do that today because I can't see your hearts. I don't know where you stand. You know, as I sat in that stadium the other day and looked at people, and there was a lady sitting there with us, so I gave her a gospel tract and began to just ask her about her faith in Jesus Christ. And she told me, she said, well, I hope I would go to heaven. I said, what if hope ain't enough? I said, what's going to get you to heaven? She said, well, I've been saved and I'm a good person. And I said, okay, can I see if you're really a good person? And she said, sure. So I asked her about lying and stealing and taking God's name in vain, and she admitted to every one of them. So I said, you're a liar, you're a thief, and you're a blasphemer at heart. Would God let you into his heaven? She said, well, I don't know. I said, well, you said you were saved. What are you saved from? And she said, my sin. I said, aren't those things sins? She said, I ain't been to church in a long time. Are you a preacher? And I said, why does that matter? She said, well, you just act like a preacher to me. I said, yes, ma'am, I am a preacher. And she said, well, who'd you come with? And I said, these six guys from my church. She said, I do believe in Jesus. I did trust him. I said, you know, if you trusted him, you'll be doing what he tells you to do. You'll be doing what he told you to do. And what I'm doing is what he told me to do. It's to tell you about Jesus because I don't know you. And she said, it's been a long time since I've been to church. I probably ought to go back. I said, yes, ma'am. I think you better go back. Because I'll tell you what, guys, it's renewed in me. Every week when I come here, it's renewed in me and how much I love Jesus and what Jesus has done for me. Jesus loved me so much. And at that point, you know, in this process, Jesus wanted Judas to turn from his sin, but Judas wanted his own way. And guys, we can't have it both ways. We either follow Jesus or we have to do it our own way. And if you're doing it your own way, you're not going to go to heaven. Because there's only one way to heaven. And Jesus sent Judas out. Now I can't say that anybody in here, I can't say you're not a believer because that's between you and Jesus Christ and he's the perfect judge and I am not. But let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is a part of God and if he's in you, then you can know that you're saved. I know for a fact that I'm going to see my Jesus when I step from this place to the next. There's not going to be a twinkling of an eye in that process and I'll see Jesus face to face and my faith will become sight. And we've got to have that assurance. It's not, I hope so. It's I know so type of faith. So Jesus wanted Judas to come to him and Jesus is still waiting for people to come to him. So Jesus broke the bread and he began to give it to his disciples and he said, take and eat. This is my body. You know, from the beginning, life had to be taken to remain right with God. In Genesis chapter 3, we see that God took animals' lives to make skins of clothing for Adam and Eve. We can see that Cain and Abel knew that they were to bring sacrifices to the Lord. And in Exodus 11 verse 5 it says, they selected an animal for Passover to be delivered from the plague that God was going to bring on the Egyptians. Guys, all the way through this process of time, if you look in Leviticus, if you look in Deuteronomy, if you look in all those places, you can see that life had to be given. And his body was the bread of life. His body is something that you and I, we cannot see and we cannot touch like the disciples did. But guys, I'm telling you that his body was necessary for us to have salvation. And as bread is a substance for you and I to partake of, and if you go to other countries, bread is a staple food. You know, not so much here, but most people really like bread. But let me tell you something. We cannot do anything without Jesus Christ. You know, as we go through this, I want you to listen to Isaiah 53:9. It says, 53:4-9 actually. It says, yet he himself bore our sickness and Jesus carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him as stricken and struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquity. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We all turned to go our own way. And the Lord has punished him, Jesus, for the iniquity of us all. Jesus was oppressed and afflicted, yet Jesus did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before his shears, he did not open his mouth. He was taken away because of the oppression and the judgment, and who considered his fate. He was cut off from the land of the living. He was struck because of my people's rebellion. He was assigned to the grave with the wicked. But he was with the rich man at his death, because he had done no violence and had not spoken deceitfully. I want you to listen to that. Because of our sins, because of all the things that we have done, Jesus' body, he had to have a body for us to have the forgiveness that he has, so God could pour out his wrath and so that we could see how our sin affected God. God hates our sin. But with Jesus' body, he could pour out his punishment, a divine punishment that you and I deserved, so that we could have a right relationship with God, a right and good relationship with God. You know, we say that in Africa all the time. But guys, every person in this world has a relationship with God, because he's going to be their judge one day. It's not a good relationship, but it's a relationship, because God's going to stand in judgment at every person's life that has breathed life upon this earth. And yet Jesus took that punishment in his body for us if we would just accept it, if they will just accept it. And I realize that I'm preaching to the choir, but every one of you guys know people that need Jesus. And they could be here taking communion. And sometimes we're just not bold enough to speak. You know, the lady that I was talking to, she had a husband. And he was an avid Cardinals fan, I could tell. Probably knew more than my wife and Justin Stevens even, maybe, I don't know. He might have gave Justin Stevens a run for his money. But he was down there, you know, close to pool halls and trying to get autographs and this, that, and the other. And she said, it's my first opening day. Well, it was my first opening day. You know, I told Pete, I said, you know, they hook them horses up and they do all this preparation for a 2-minute circle around that stadium. Guys, let me tell you something. I don't know about you. This is what I equate that to. How much preparation do we do get ready to go out and share the gospel on a weekly basis? I know from a fact, it was Pete worked with Steve and Glenda Stratton. I know for a fact a 6-horse hitch takes like 3 or 4 hours to get ready to go. And an 8-horse hitch will be even longer than that. For a 2-minute circle around that stadium. And I thought to myself, yet I don't spend enough time in the Word of God to allow God to make me bold enough to speak to people sometimes. One of the guys asked me whether I talked to her husband. I said, no, but I gave her a gospel tract. Maybe she'll share it with him. I figured she had already heard it once. She probably didn't want to hear it again. Let's put it like this. The wounding of Jesus heals us perfectly and eternally from all damage sin has done. Have you ever thought about that? That all the damage that sin has done in your life, when God looks at you, it's completely removed. You're completely full and you're completely whole. Even though we don't feel whole here. I know I've still got some things to work on. But this healing comes in 3 stages. So it comes in justification, sanctification, and glorification. You know, as we look at life, justification happens at the moment that we accept the gift that Jesus wants to give all of us. We are justified in Jesus Christ. When we turn and present ourselves to God and ask Him to come into our heart and life, you become justified before God. I don't have to worry about my sin because my sin has been taken care of. I don't need to look back, and Satan is the great accuser, and he'll tell us that I need to worry about my sin. But I'm telling you that I'm forgiven of my sin and I'm a conqueror because of Christ. You know, sanctification is happening at the moment, at this moment, as you live for Jesus and confess your sins to God because you are turning away from your sin. If you're pursuing Jesus Christ and a right relationship with Him, then you're being sanctified and God's removing this, making you aware of what you need to get rid of in your life, and you're becoming more and more like Christ all the time. And that's sanctification. I'm a whole lot more like Christ than I used to be, but I still got a long way to go. Ask Carol. I don't read the signs right sometimes, right? I was supposed to get up and help her fix dinner or lunch today, and I didn't do that. I was more focused on what I had to get done. But as we think about things, the glorification, See, that's going to happen when I step from here into glory. I'm going to have a glorified body. And I heard it said like this in a couple of weeks ago. I believe it was Daniel Aiken that said this as well. But he said, you're a soul parading a body. You're not a body parading a soul. And guys, that's so true. Our soul's going to live forever. This old body's going to, it's aging and going to go away one of these days, and I'm going to get a brand new one. Praise God. But I won't be glorified until I step into heaven to be with my Heavenly Father. You know, and Jesus, He went through everything that we went through. Everything that we went through. Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says this. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive and find grace to help us in times of need. Guys, Jesus, the Son of God, had a body just like you and I had. He was human just like you and I had. He got tired just like you and I do. He understands the temptations that Jesus would throw at you. And every time that Jesus was tempted, He won the battle. But every time Jesus was tempted, He went back to the Bible. You know, He had a model of that as He began His ministry. We see Him quoting out of Deuteronomy. And He even told Peter, get behind me, Satan. Because Satan was using Peter. You know, I believe that Satan can use us if we're not, as believers, I believe He can use us if we are not careful and speak harmful words to other Christians to discourage them. We need to think about what we say and how we say it to other people. And we need to love the way Jesus taught us to love. And if we can't love, if we ain't got nothing good to say about people, then we need to pray about our relationship with God. Because we're supposed to love the same way. And I've had to pray many times, Lord, especially at the boat factories. Just a short story, okay? I was sitting underneath welding on a boat, and I don't know if any of you know what TIG welding is or not. But I was welding upside down. I had a guy, went to school with him all my life. And me and him, I didn't like him, he didn't like me. I pray for him today, okay? But I ain't seen him in years. Here's the deal. I was welded upside down, and he come there and he hit the top of that boat with me underneath it with all the molten metal. And guys, all I could do was just sit underneath there and say, Lord, help me stay underneath this boat, because if I get out, he's going to regret it. I stayed underneath the boat, and he was a better man for it. And he never apologized, and I never confronted him. But guys, I wanted to. But it was only by the love of Christ that I didn't. He knew I was a preacher, and he didn't like preachers. But Jesus endured every bit of that, just like I did. But it was only through Him that I could do such things. So I want you to think about His body. As we move from the body to the blood, I want you to realize that God came down from heaven, stepped out of heaven, into a human body, so He could show us what the punishment would look like, so that He would endure all the punishment that you and I deserve because of our sin. But praise God, we are sanctified by the blood. Hebrews 10:10 says it this way, that by this we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. And I think that sums it up so well. Jesus only had to come one time. I only have to be born again one time to have Jesus Christ in my heart. You know, we are sanctified by the blood. He took the cup and he gave it to them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about Him giving the cup to His disciples and then passing the cup around. But listen to what we are sanctified by the blood. It says, for the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have appointed it to to you to make atonement on the altar for your lives, since it's the lifeblood that makes atonement. See, starting back again in the very beginning, he knew that the life was in the blood. And up on that cross, Jesus was shedding his blood for you and I, but it began at the very beginning of time when that shed blood was shed of those animals and those sins were pushed forward because they'd done that in faith, knowing that their sins would be forgiven. Every one of us have to realize that the blood of Jesus Christ is what sanctifies us. It's what makes us right with God. It's what redeems us. Romans said it this way, "But God proves his own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we have been justified by his blood?" By the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what covers my life. That's what makes me right with God. God don't see all the sins I did because they're completely covered by the blood of Christ. Will we be saved through him from wrath? For if while we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? And not only that, but we boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have been received reconciliation. And guys, tonight, that's what we're doing. When we take the bread and the cup, we boast of the fact that he has saved us. We proclaim that in our lives. And every one of us need to do that because he commanded us to do that. He says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. So as we take communion tonight, I want you to realize that you have been reconciled. You stand before God a clean person, but that does not mean that we do not need to examine our lives. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." But think about it. Hebrews goes back. And I just had to add this in there to go back. "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow sprinkled those who are defiled, sanctified for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works so that we can serve the living God?" And the reason I wanted to put that in there, to be honest, I had to read the whole thing, was because we serve a living God. Amen? Do you believe that? Do you believe that we serve a living God? Because I tell you what, I get cold chills thinking about the fact that, I mean, he's watching me and he can help me, and if I will let him, he will direct me and help me through this life, even though Satan is trying to trip me all the way through this life. And he sends his little minions out trying to poke and prod me to do the things that Satan would have the flesh to do. But he said, "Take heart. You will have trouble in this world, but take heart. I have overcome the world." We through Jesus Christ have overcome the world. So that brings us to the closing of this message, because you have victory in Jesus. But there's so many people out there that need Jesus. Just what we need to end on thinking about our relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 11:28-32 says, Let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many are sick and ill among you, and many have fallen asleep. If we were properly judging ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned with the world. Guys, as Burl comes to play our closing song, I just want you to think about your life. Your, not only your vertical life with Christ, as we think about the cross. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You know, that's your vertical relationship. And if you have, and you know that everything is right between you and Jesus Christ, then what about your horizontal relationship with you and others? As he stretched out his arms on that cross, he invites every one of us to come to him. He invited Judas till the very end. And are we inviting people? Maybe people that we have differences with. If that young man that was here today that done that to me at Tracker Marine 15 years ago, could I offer him my forgiveness? And sure I could. Through the power of Jesus Christ. I've prayed about that. I've dealt with that. And you know, as we go through life, we've got to have both of those relationships in a right relationship with God as we come to take of the cup. So if you feel so led tonight, these altars are open to pray. And as Burl plays, I just want you to examine yourself, prepare your heart for taking the bread and the cup, the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time. As Father, as this time goes on, as Burl plays, Father, I just pray that they would just prepare their hearts for the communion time, the Lord's Supper. Father, that you told us, you commanded us to do until you come. Father, by doing this time, we are proclaiming your death and your burial and your resurrection until you come back. And Father, I just pray that every person here that's a born again believer would feel comfortable enough to take of these elements today. Father, I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Will you just examine your lives for just a few moments? Just every head bowed, every eye closed. Just examine your life as Burl plays tonight.